Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am truly grateful to be with you on this first day of September 2018. Fall is here. At least it is for me. Then the 1st of September is right there in the fall, and it's my very, very favorite time of year, as it were. I find it to be an intriguing time of year for many, many different reasons. I want to thank you for joining me here on Aspire, and I want to remind you that we are here only because of the generosity and the loving support of my sponsors who make all this possible with their donations, their tax-deductible gifts. You're listening to this program. You may be watching us on YouTube or on the website at aspire.org, on TV, or locally here in the Carmel area on TV. All of this is here to be of service to you, and all of this is available due to the generous contributions of my sponsors who make all this possible with their loving hearts. And I cannot thank them enough for their kindness. Sometimes it is so deeply moving to me when I think about it. I don't even know what to say, how deeply grateful I am. Anyway, my dear one, if you are enjoying these radio programs, if you have found anything on the Aspire website, including my TV programs, to be of interest to you, please remember, your help is needed. To support these programs, we need everybody's help. Believe me, we do. For your contribution, for your monthly or your quarterly donation, you will receive a plethora of things. One of them being the message of the month that is sent to each and every person who is a sponsor. You can download them from the website at aspire.org, or I will send you a CD copy if you like. You will also have access to my commentaries and podcasts each month, and my video casts as well, and all of the prior years that I have written so many commentaries on spiritual subjects that I feel are very pertinent and important. These are things that most teachers will not talk about. These are subjects that pertain to your inner development, your awareness of the world you live in, the laws that govern this premise of these worlds that we live in this world. We live in many worlds in one world, and the beauty of it all and how to harmonize with it, the pitfalls of a spiritual practice, and there are many that the mind sets up, the ego, the pride, the vanity, all that stuff, and I help you understand that, overcome those things in my commentaries, podcasts, and video casts. You will also have access to all of my TV program discourses that I did over the years. I think there's 122 of them, and that will keep you busy. More detail on, for instance, living the life, a life worth living, Nobody Likes You Anyway, one of the most popular we've ever done, The Eightfold Path of Buddha, the Beatitudes, all of those will be available to you for download for free by becoming a sponsor. So you get a great many goodies for your kindness, and at the same time, you're serving humankind. And I hope that you will be a sponsor. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see support. If you click on that, a drop-down menu will come, and you can read about what your Aspire gift does. It's entitled Why Support Aspire, and it will give you all of the details of what it means to support Aspire and help me serve humankind, not only through TV and radio, but my hospice work. Everybody wants to be a success. Everything is about how to be successful. Looking up the word success, the accomplishment of an aim or purpose, the attainment of popularity or profit. That's the biggest one. A person or a thing that achieves desired aims or attains prosperity. That's really big. When I was first ordained so many hundreds of years ago, it seems like lifetimes ago, the only thing that people were interested in as far as religion was concerned, unity was concerned, was prosperity. Money, 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 money. That's all they cared about. And if I talked about money, we packed them in. If I didn't talk about money, they yawned and left. It's all about the success of money. And now, probably more than ever, with the kind of regime that's in Washington and the way our culture, well, we have no culture, I can't say that. The way our society is built, we are focused totally and completely on money, objects, ego. The first concern of most people, my own students, isn't the welfare of their own soul, their own being. It's all about getting the money and surviving, because that's a very big part of living in a body. The body sends impulses, DNA, and says, hey, I got to survive here. What are you going to be doing to help me survive? All of this pertains to our life and all of the things that we are and do. So I get questions about it, and the first question comes from Bob in Syracuse. He says, are we not built for success? I am interested in that. What does that have to do with the teachings of Buddha on desire, Bob? Bob, boy, you hit the nail on the head. What about Bob? No, great movie. Anyway, and I digress. You know, you hear this statement, money is the root of all evil, but it's not. It's what later on was said, the love of money. It is, the, as you said, Bob, about desire. It is about desire for it and how that eats away at our ability to reach our soul and to have any kind of inner deep self-realization. Most people are only interested in the obtainment of popularity, profit, and money, obtaining. Now, there's a vast difference between, Bob, the whole idea of obtaining things, going through the motions and the mechanics of achieving something, and that of attaining, which isn't going through the mechanics of anything. Attainment is realized by degrees of meditation, of inner work, of consciousness, of developing consciousness. This means that there has to be generosity in you. You know, one of the things that I think people suffer from the most is a lack of generosity. They're unconscionably cheap instead of being unconscionably generous. You would never think of being unconscionably generous. That would be, I'll never forget this lady. I was doing a live radio program years ago, and she said, I believe in generosity. I just wouldn't sell the farm for it and give it away. And, you know, your life is hanging by a thread right now, whether any of you know it or not. It's just a thread. There is at any moment the possibility that your body will die suddenly, without warning, without any kind of care or anything. It's just gonna keel over and die. I've seen it happen. I work in hospice, and I see people. I work in the hospital. They'll just keel over and die for no reason at all. People who work at the hospital, you've got to understand, we are not built for success. We, in our physical body, are built for survival. And the trouble with most of us is that we are ruthless in that survival. There is no kindness. There is no compassion. So when Jesus and Buddha talk about you gain the whole world but lose yourself, they were talking about the person whose focus was purely on the success and the accomplishment of gaining in some way the obtainment of popularity or profit or achieving one's desires. What if the way we achieve our desires kept us from understanding the way of the heart and the achievement of the soul. Which would be more valuable to you? The atonement that could happen with the heart, or the achievement that could happen with money, with success, with popularity? We live off our ego, and the ego demands that we become popular, that we profit by our popularity. This is what makes us believe that it is more important to achieve success than it is awakening, an inner deep awakening. We don't much care about awakening. We care mostly about the idea of the achievement that the ego can grasp and make its own and make it important. So we miss our entire life. And the interesting thing to me in my counseling, in my work with people, both in the practice and outside the practice and in between the practice, people don't care. I found it deeply disturbing to me many years ago, and even to this day, I can find it disturbing that people don't care about their life at all. They care about the circumstances, the conditions of their worldly life, but they don't even understand what it means to have a life or what the meaning of a life truly is. They don't get it. It is just not in the cards for them. They don't understand it, and frankly, they don't want to understand it. And when Jesus said that he came into this world and found none athirst, dear Bob, and that the empty they came into this world and empty they seek to go out of it, as he said in the Gospel of Thomas, you begin to truly understand why the earth and the world is the way it is. We are where we are because we sought success of monetary gain, personal gain, ego gain, over the idea of the attainment that could be occurring through the spiritual heart. The only thing that truly matters is what you can take with you through death. That is the only thing that truly matters. So I ask you, what can you take with you through death? What will this lifetime be all about? What kind of life have you lived? Has it been that of gaining objects, people, things? Or has it been, dear Bob, the willingness to come to a certain place where you see the value of forgiveness, mercy, compassion? These are qualities of a meditator. Someone who sees what binds us to this world. In this lifetime, we either obtain or we attain. And if you obtain success and you want success and you think that money makes for prosperity, or you think popularity is an important aspect of gaining profit and survival, most people will dedicate their entire life to that and let the spiritual part take care of itself. We don't care. So, most people live by Todd Cleary's theory. Todd Cleary was a guy I went to college with, and he said, if you can't eat it, drink it, smoke it, drive it, have sex with it, that wasn't the word he used, but you know what word he used, then it's just not worth having. And I really believe that that's the American public. That's all they care about. So are we built for success? We are built for survival, Bob. And if you're good at survival, then I guess, according to, you know, your earthly means here and ways, you are successful. Kind of interesting. Bob, thank you for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Carol. And she lives in Los Angeles. She, interesting woman, really interesting, writes me very interesting emails, and I want to thank her. She ends it, she says, will you talk on a future program? Is success possible in meditation? I never think of success in proportion to meditation. It just does not compute. Meditation is a blending. Meditation is not something you do like an athletic event where you would do something and perform some athletic, feat of amazement like we see in the NFL or in sports or anything like that. It isn't something like that. Meditation is a blending, a harmonizing. It is not about the success of whether or not you did the technique right or not. Sometimes meditation occurs, you just fall into meditation. When you practice and you start to become aware, one could say, well, that would be successful. You became aware, da-da-da-da. You overcame something. You found some accomplishment. And I guess you could say that. But to meditate and to try to be successful at it, because you've put up perimeters, like here's a perimeter that a lot of people put up about meditation. You have to get all the thoughts out of your head. Well, that's not true. Meditation is not about getting all the thoughts out of your head. It isn't. Meditation is about practicing detachment from those thoughts, passivity towards those thoughts, not trying to make those thoughts important or obsess on them. Now, that is an attainment. That is something you can do to attain insight, beauty. Now, if you want to call it a matter of success, you could. You could say that's an accomplishment. But to do that makes meditation one more thing either to fail at or succeed in. And what would be the tenacity that would allow you to stay with your meditations to such a degree that you could actually inside of yourself attain? Well, that wouldn't work either. That would definitely not work. Because in meditation, it's not a thing you do to be successful. Meditation is more than contemplation, far more. It is a deep, deep, deep fulfillment of living in a silence that exceeds the noise of my Gregory thoughts. I don't look at it as an accomplishment at all. I look at it as a place maybe to get out of the rain, the acid rain of Gregory's genetic thinking, his pedestrian mentality. To come to a very sacred point and place inside where the sanctity of my oneness with the universe and life is realized. And something so beautiful, something so meaningful is allowed to, so to speak, resurrect itself in my livingness. So, Carol, when we're thinking about meditation, we're not thinking about success nor failure. Where we think in terms of success and failure, we split our mind. We come into dualistic thinking. Oh, I was successful. Oh, I was a failure. That kind of thinking. And that always brings about some real ugliness in daily living. That would also curtail your pursuit of meditation as a practice. So rather than pitting failure and success against yourself as a form of achieving meditation, it might be better to look at meditation as the way, the truth, the light, going back to your origins. And if you can go back to your origins, that would be something quite beautiful, quite meaningful. It would bring you into the beauty of what it is to be authentic. And meditation makes us authentic. Just something for you to think about. I hope that serves you well. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Jim. He lives in Lakeland, Florida, I guess. Here's what he says. Greg, I work very hard and I want to be successful in all ways. Is this a good thing to pursue? And will it go against what you call a spiritual practice? Jim. Jim, if you are seeking to do things mindfully, and I did beautiful discourses on mindfulness back in July. You should get them. You should listen to them. It would help you. If you are doing things mindfully to seek consciousness, and whatever it is you are doing to yourself. You have to understand whatever my doingness is, I do to myself. No matter what I'm doing, I may be trying to clean the kitchen, or I might be at a hospice thing where it's getting kind of hairy and the family's getting upset. And I will try to help them understand the process that is going on. And instead of looking at it as tragedy, look at it as beauty. If I can help them, am I a success? Am I obtaining goodness? Being successful at whatever you do is not the point. Being mindful of everything you do is important. Being in that modality of oneness, that is the key. And if you have attained to oneness in anything you do, whether it is cleaning the toilet, washing the car, playing with your children or your dog, or making dinner, whatever you are doing, if you do it mindfully and you can live in the essence of your mental acumen to understand what you are really engaged in, not the cleaning of the kitchen or the petting of your puppy or the playing with your children or working. What are you engaged in? If you can understand that engagement that you are in, that, my dear one, is being very, very successful by your terms. I would not use that word. I would supersede that with this. It is more important to attain than to be successful. To accomplish anything with a purpose and aim for the sake of popularity or profit or money, that's success. But attainment is something that is very private, very beautiful, very meaningful. In attainment, we awaken. We've achieved something that is beyond the speculation of the mind, and it can't appreciate anything of what we have just accomplished as we think of it in our human brain. When a person gives up success for attainment, a whole new world opens up, a whole new set of laws open up, a whole new reality is there. And we start to look at things from a very different point of view than we ever have before. We start to look at things from the point of view of love. Because in the bottom line, this lifetime is all about love. Pure, unadulterated love. And should you be interested in something like this, then attainment will become important to you. And you will feel deep inside that there is something within you that is seeking to help you awaken to that. And no longer will you be captured by thought, emotion, passion, reason, logic. You will start to understand the way of the heart, which is so different than the way of the DNA and genetics. I'm out of here. Thank you, Jim, for your beautiful question. I hope it helped. If you have a comment, a question, or something I can help you with, come to the website at aspire.org. You can email me from there or just email me, greg@aspire.org. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.